Okay, Shabbos HaGadol Tav Shin Pei, a different type of drasha than we've had in the past couple of years, but the Torah doesn't change. And it's time for us to all be inspired, to try to be inspired as we talk about the same topics that we've spoken about in past years, the topics that we connect to on this special holiday that's coming, Chag HaMatzos, Chag HaPesach, Haba Aleinu L'Tova, and there's what to talk about. I usually start, again, this is something that I start with, I was thinking of whether to start with this or not start with it, but, you know, it is the Shabbos HaGadol Drasha. It's the first one that's ever being recorded. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had plans. Someone mentioned last year they wish it could be recorded. Maybe they shouldn't have wished too hard last year. But this is the Metzius, and we'll try to do what we can to be able to connect with each other in this way. Rav Pinkus writes in the Hakdama to his Haggadah on the first page that there are two ways to experience every Yontif. There's a way to prepare for it, and there's a way to live with it. And there's a way to experience it. And he gives the mashal, again, a mashal that might seem obsolete at this moment. We hope soon it won't be so obsolete. The mashal of preparing going on a trip. And somebody packs up, and they pack the suitcases, and they pack their passports, and they pack everything they need. In the olden days, they used to pack their tickets, and they get into, they call the taxi, and they go, and they go to check in their bags, and they go get a coffee, and they get everything they need, and they go to the gate, and then they call the gate, and it's the plane, and it's the boarding time, and they wait, and they're looking out the vast glass windows, and they watch, and the plane takes off without them. That's one way of experiencing Yontif, experiencing every Yontif, especially Pesach. But then we have another type of experience, and that is the person who does the same exact thing. But instead of stopping at the glass window, they get onto the plane. They go through security and get onto the plane. And that's a different experience, because there they live it. And as we have Pesach, we all prepare and we all buy and we do what we can. And this year we're probably preparing in different ways than we've ever prepared before. But it's still preparation. And we have to do what we can to be able to experience, not just to get to the glass window, but to get onto the plane. For some of us, it's going to be a lot more challenging to get onto the plane this year. Some of us are with less people than usually go on the plane with us. Sometimes, you know, some of us are going to be alone, having our own flight. Sometimes, some of us will be thinking, we'll have Zoom Siddurim before the Seder. But whatever it is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, is telling us, as we're going to talk about Be'ezus Hashem over the next couple of minutes, Hashem wants us to get on the plane. Hashem gives us this opportunity, and Hashem wants us, even in these trying times, to do what we can to get onto the plane. So as we always do, we'll start off the first half of the shiur. Will be a shiur related to conceptual analysis, lumdus, about a topic related to Pesach, and then the second half will hopefully be building on the previous part. It might be a little shorter than usual. I usually say that. We'll see what happens. But Be'ezus Hashem, we'll try to do what we can to be able to connect and be able to study Torah together, a topic that is a crucial one for all of our lives. So here we go. Pesach is the only holiday. Again, someone noted to me that this is the first Shabbos HaGadol Drasha, that Be'ezus Hashem, they'll be able to take notes. That's fine. That's also a good thing. But again, it's something that we have to try to be inspired, whether it's Yontif, whether it's pre. We have to do what we can. Here we go. Pesach is the only holiday with two parts. Two parts. Every other holiday is one day. Rosh Hashanah, Midrabanah, but really Rosh Hashanah is one day. Sukkot is one day, and then one day, right? Pazar Kashav is separate, and Shavuos is one day, and Yom Kippur is one day, and Pesach, we know the only Yontif that doesn't get a Shechianu is the last day of Pesach. Women know this from Halakas Neros. There is no Shechianu and Shvi'i Shel Pesach. And the question is, what is the connection between these 2 days, the first day of Pesach and the last day of Pesach? Again, the only Yontif that is split up. What's the message? It's obviously connected, but separate. We know, not our topic for tonight, that Shavuos is somehow the Shmini Atzeres of Pesach, like Shmini Atzeres is to Sukkos. So there are parallels. But halachically, we know Pesach day one, Pesach day seven are different holidays, but connected holidays, and not really different holidays. So what exactly is the message of these two holidays? Question one. Question two, we know that Shvi'i Shel Pesach is the day of Kriyas Yamsuf. It's the day we sung Shira, amazing recognition that Am Yisrael had of Godless Hashem and a Kriyas Yamsuf. We saw what we didn't see before then. And we dafka sung Shira at that moment. The Medrash tells us in source number one, you have your sources on the screen in front of you, but also they're uploaded and feel free to print them out afterwards. Says the Medrash in Parshas B'Shalach, Oz Yashir Moshe, Oz, at that moment, Moshe Rabbeinu and Bnei Yisrael sung Shira, Miyom Shebarak Adosh Baruch Hu Es HaOlam, from the day that Hashem created the world, the Ad She'amdu Yisrael Al Hayam, until the day of Kriyas Yamsuf, until Shvi'i Shel Pesach, Lo Matzinu Adam She'amar Shira LaKadosh Baruch Hu El Yisrael. No one sung Shira until that moment. Bara Adam Arishon, V'lo Amar Shira. Adam did not sing to Hashem. Hitzil Avram Mikivshon Ha'esh. Hashem saved Avram from the Kivshon Ha'esh. U'men Amalachim, V'lo Amar Shira. He saved them. V'chein Yitzchak min Amacheles. Yitzchak from the Akedah. V'lo Amar Shira. V'chein Yaakov min Amalach. U'men Esav. U'men Anshei Shechem. Yaakov saved so many times. V'lo Amar Shira. Kivan Shebo Yisrael Layam V'nikra Lahem, the second that Kriyas Yamsuf happened, Miad Amru Shira Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They sung Shir Shenemar, Oz, at that moment, Yashir Moshe Uvenei Yisrael. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Le'elu Hayiti Mitzape. I was waiting for this for thousands of years. Ve'in Oz El HaSimcha Shenemar Oz Yimalei Schok Pinu. So that was the moment that we sung Shira. And we know that was an amazing moment. The Medrash also tells us in the Psikta, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, source number two, Minayin Ato Omer, Sharasa Shivcha Layam, Mashal Aro, Yeshaya, Yecheskel, Shenemar, Zeh, Keli, V'yanvehu. This is my God, and I will glorify him. And that was said at Shira Sayam. And the question is, why is it that the Shira was dafka said at that moment and not before? What happened at Kriyas Yamsuf that Bnei Yisrael didn't experience in the Makos, in Yetzias Mitzrayim? What exactly was it at that moment? And guess what? The Yerushalmi asked this question. The Yerushalmi in Psachim, source number three in Arvei Psachim, the Yerushalmi asks, His Nad V'Rashay Yom, Shakadosh Baruch Hu Oselem Nisim, Tehu Omrim Shira, HaTevun HaRegulas Mitzrayim. You're supposed to say Shira. You're supposed to sing when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does something to you. So why did they say Shira beforehand? You see, it's Mitzrayim. Shan Yehi Shitchilas Geulasan. No, here is different. Because it was only the beginning of the Geula. It was the beginning of the Geula. Meaning the end of the Geula took place only afterwards. The Pnei Moshe explains, Klomer Akati Lohavi Ela Aschalta de Geula, Shelo Nigalu Legamri at Shakua Mitzrayim Bayam. The Geula didn't take place until they were Shakua, until the Mitzrayim were lost. But Bnei Yisrael didn't know that at the time. When they left Mitzrayim, they didn't know there was going to be another stage. They thought this was it. They would never see the Mitzrayim again. And the question is, why exactly did they say Shira only after that moment? So question one, what's the connection? What's the message between the first day of Pesach, the last day of Pesach? Number two, what exactly is the message of Kriyas Yamsuf, of Shvi'i Shel Pesach, that Bnei Yisrael only sung Shira at that moment? Question number three. The Magen Avraham in Simen Samach Zayin, source number five, discussing the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Magen Avraham suggests that besides Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim being fulfilled with the last parsha of Shema, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hutzeiti Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim, we're not going to talk about whether that's counted as a mitzvah or not. That's the Rambam against other Rishonim. That was a different topic a couple of years ago. But the mitzvah of Zechira, says the Magen Avraham, saying Oz Yashir could count as the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Says the Magen Avraham, Venira Li, source 5. Dekal Shekein Imam Rashir Asayam Diyotza. Not only you can also say Az Yashir, which doesn't mention a word. That's about Kriyas Yamsuf. But you can mention that, and that's Kal Shekein, that you can be Yotze, the mitzvah of Zechir Asitiyas Mitzrayim, with Shir Asayam. Kal Shekein Imam Rashir Asayam Diyotza. Upashit Vechulu. Says the Chassam Sofer. Says Yom Kiva Eger, I don't understand. Why does that work? That shouldn't work, says the Chassam Sofer on Shulchan Aruch there. He quotes the Magen Avraham, Nira Be'inai, Va'ani Chochech Bazeh. I argue, Mipnei Shalom Nizkar B'yom Seisenu Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Right? So because it's not mentioned, Az Yashir is not mentioned, doesn't mention Yitzias Mitzrayim at all. Kiyim Kriyas Yamsuf. The Torah says, the day that you went out of Mitzrayim, that's what you have to remember. What is Az Yashir? Doesn't mention that. So ask the Chassam Sofer. I don't understand. It shouldn't work. Kriyas Yamsuf is a hemshech. Kriyas Yamsuf is a continuation of the process. But it's not the only step. How could the Magen Avraham say that just Kriyas Yamsuf is a kiyum of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim? It doesn't mention Yitzias Mitzrayim in the Shira at all. Reb Kiva Eger here in source number 7, going over to the second page, he quotes from his son-in-law, the Chassam Sofer. Right here, he says, Chotni Agon Ramosha Av Bezdin Tekilas Kadosh Pressburg Bit Shuvaso Nitfas Besimah Yama Talmud Hisigalzeh Drachmana Kapit Tizkar Yom Tzeiskov Velo Yom Kriyas Yamsuf. So the question is, how do we defend the Magen Avraham? The Magen Avraham obviously knew that. He knew that Az Yashir talks about what happened at the Yamsuf. Doesn't talk about what happened at the Yitzias Mitzrayim. So the question is, how does the Magen Avraham count that Az Yashir can work as Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim? Next, moving right along, says the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Lamed Gimel. Says the Gemara, the source for the principle of Hidr Mitzvah is from Kriyas Yamsuf. Says the Pasuk, we know, Ze Keli V'Yanvehu, Elokei Aviv Arom Imenhu. This is my God, and I will glorify him. Says the Gemara, Detanya, Ze Keli V'Yanvehu, Hisna'e Lefanav B'Mitzvos. Beautify yourself with mitzvos. Ase Lefanav, Sukkah Na'e, Lulav Na'e, Shofar Na'e, make a beautiful Sukkah, make a beautiful Lulav, Shofar Na'e, Tzitzis Sefer Torah Na'e, V'Kasav Olish Mot B'Dio Na'e, beautiful ink, Kulmis Na'e, right, that's an interesting one. That's not our topic now. Right, a beautiful quill. How does that beautify the mitzvah? If I use a beautiful quill, kol misnoa bilavlar uman v'karcho b'shirai noin v'chulu. So that's the source of hinder mitzvah. Zekeli v'anveyu. The question is, why dafka do we learn out hinder mitzvah from this experience of Kriyas Yamsuf? Is there a connection between hither mitzvah? Is it just a word game? Anvehu hisna'el lefana b'mitzvos? Right. What exactly is the connection? How are we supposed to understand zekeli v'anvehu? Is there part of the Kriyas Yamsuf experience? Is there part of the Kriyas Yamsuf experience that has to do with hither mitzvah that we could understand? If we understand the Kriyas Yamsuf experience, we could then understand in a deeper way the Hidr Mitzvah experience. If we can do that. And that's going to be hopefully a goal that we're going to try to get through. Is there a connection between Hidr Mitzvah and the experience of Kriyas Yamsuf? It's fascinating. Just one final ha'ara as we finish off the introduction. One final ha'ara, and that is the Rambam never brings down and quotes the concept of Hidr Mitzvah. This Gemara Shabbos Kuf Lamed Gimel seems to be nobody argues. I mean, maybe Abishol learned something else from V'Anvehu. So the Rambam argues with that. He holds like that day. It doesn't sound like there's a mamish an argument here. But the Rambam never quotes it, except by the mitzvahs that has specific context of Hidr Mitzvah, like Hanukkah, Mahajim and Mahajrin, and being Ma'agid the Lulav, which B'ez Hashem we'll get back to. But the Rambam never quotes it. So there's a question the Mefarshim deal with. Rav Asher Weiss and the Minchas Asher and the Klali HaMitzvos suggests, you have it there in source number 9. V'nira ikar bazed v'ladas ha-rambam enkan hilchas ha-psikta. This isn't a bona fide halacha. Ela midas chasidus. V'anhaga ru'ya bilvad. It's a midas chasidus. It's a nice thing. It's a hidur. It's hidur to do hidur. Talo zek keli, because after all, Hashem didn't tell them, didn't say, do hidur mitzvah. It was a kabbalah that they had. Halozek keili enu tzivi meis Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Elakach amar bnei Yisrael b'shiras hayam. Bnei Yisrael recognized something at Shiras Hayam, and they themselves accepted the concept of Heder Mitzvah. So it wasn't a tzivu, it was something that they accepted. So if they accepted it, so then it's not something that has to be mitzuveh, it's not something that's tzivui, and therefore that's maybe why the Rambam doesn't quote it, because the Rambam doesn't have many sifrei divrei musar from Shas. The Rambam doesn't quote, as he says here, that the many divrei musar and agadata are found in Shas and not found in the Rambam. This is one of them. The difficulty with that is this isn't just one chazal that comes up in one line somewhere in some famous Gemara that nobody quotes. This is an ikker part of life. Heder mitzvah is something that we all understand, and we all try to beautify our mitzvahs, and it applies to so many mitzvahs. To say the Rambam just disregarded this one line, it's not just one divrei musar. So maybe there could be another idea. Maybe there could be another idea why the Rambam does not quote this. So again, just to review, number one, what is the idea between the first day of Pesach and the last day of Pesach? What is the connection? The only holiday that is split up, that has a haschala and has a siyum. Number two, what is it about the Kriyas Yamsuf experience that changed everything and made Bnei Yisrael start singing? Oz Yashir, Zek Keli V'Yanvehu, Oz Dafka, then they started singing Shira. Number three, the Magen Avram quotes that Oz Yashir, you could be Yotze the Mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim with Oz Yashir, even though it doesn't mention Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Chassam Sofer, Rabbi Akiva Eiger argue. So what's the basis for the Magen Avram? Number three. Number four, the source for Hidur Mitzvah is from Kriyas Yamsuf. Is there something about the Kriyas Yamsuf experience that at that moment caused them to accept, without even being commanded, this idea of Hidur Mitzvah? And number five, is there any other reason that we can come up with why the Rambam does not quote it? Okay, so let's get into Hidur Mitzvah a little bit. That'll be the longest part of the shiur as we start to try to answer some of these questions. The Gemara in Baba Kama will start off. The Gemara in Daf Tesim Abeis in Baba Kama in source number 10. Rabbi Zeira talks about Hidur Mitzvah, Achlish B'Mitzvah. Hidur Mitzvah, one has to spend one third more on the Mitzvah. Hidur Mitzvah, Achlish B'Mitzvah. Boy Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi asks, right in the middle, Shlish Mi Lego, O Shlish Mi Levar. How does one calculate the third, the extra third that one has to pay for Hidur Mitzvah? Is it a shlish mi lego, meaning a third of what the mitzvah costs? O mi levar, after I add on the third, then it'll be a third. That's the question. And Rashi explains, kagon, imakaton nimkar b'shisha, if I have an esrog that costs six, so how many do I add? Do I add two, or do I add three? That is the question that we're. Just 1 second. Okay, shlish mi lego or shlish mi levar. So is it shlish mi lego or shlish mi levar? So is it three within the mitzvah itself, or three only after you add on to the mitzvah? Says Rashi. When, if the item is cost six, so do I add on two, which is mi lego, it's worth six, and then if I add on two, it's a third of that, or is it shlish mi levar, and that means after I add on three, so then I make it nine, and then it's a third after that. So is it a third mi lego or a third mi levar? The Gemara doesn't answer the question. It sounds like a very technical question. But is there any message behind that suffix of whether the shlish that I figure out for Hidur Mitzvah, is that within how much the Chefza Shel Mitzvah cost itself? Or is it a third after I add on the Hidur, so then it's a shlish of that? That is the question. Is there any message of those details that we could figure out? Number one. Number two. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Hilchas Chanukah, again, a place to look for Hidur Mitzvah, that's a place to look. Shulchan Aruch says in source number 12, Yaschila Hadlik Belel Rishon Benera Yoser Yemini. We start lighting Hanukkah candles on the most right, as we know. Ubalel Beis, this is the minhag of Klal Yisroel, Sheyosef Ner Echad Samach Lo, when we add on a ner, Yaskel Yivarecha LeNosaf. Our minhag, the Shulchan Aruch says, is to make a bracha on the newest candle. Every time you light add a candle, we go left, we make a bracha, and then we go to the right. Shu Yoser Smali, Shukteh LaHafnos LiYamin. So I light it on the left side, and in that way, I make a bracha on the newest candle, and then I go to the right. As the Chazal say, Kalpina Shatapona, Lo Ye Ela LiYamin. V'chein Belel Gimel, Kashi Yosef, Odacher, Samach L'Shtein Eres HaRishonos, Yasla Benosaf, V'acha Yifan Alamin. V'chulu, and this is what we know. The Shulchan Aruch says, Nimsa, the last line, Tamin Mevarech Ala Nosaf, Shehu Mora Al Hanes. We always make a bracha on the newest candle, because that's the Hosafa of the Nesha, but Tosefes Hayamim Nitosef Hanes. Fine. Says the Vilna Gaon, says the Gra, I'm sorry, but I beg to differ. I do not think that you should make a bracha and light first the newest candle. Why, says the Gra, right there, so is 13. The Ein Lo Tam Vareach. I don't think this is true. You're going to make a bracha on the Hidr Mitzvah candle? Remember, what does the Gemara say in Shabbos? Chafalef, Nerishu Beso. The Iker Mitzvah is one candle. The one all the way to the right. The one closest to the door, as they lit in the days of old, where everybody lit outside close to the door. And when you add on another one, that's the extra one. That's the Hidr one. Shezeh eino rak l'mahadrin min ha-mahadrin. V'yaniach ikar ha-mitzvah. V'yivarech al-reshus. You're going to make the bracha on the hiddur mitzvah? No, you make a bracha on the ikar mitzvah. And then the hiddur, you can light afterwards. Says the Gra. You shouldn't make a bracha on the new one. Again, v'yaniach ikar mitzvah, yivarech al-reshus. Ayin tafresh, ayin dalet, ba'agov, v'gami shepinos liyamin. Yivatel ikar ha-mitzvah. Tevach ha-samach le-pesach. Just because you want to go to the right, this kiyum of always turning to the right, you're going to be mavir on the ikar mitzvah? No! Eloha ikar, says the Gra, sheyaskel b'ner ha-samach le-pesach. You light with the candle that's closest to the door. Be'malek b'yamin ha-pesach o'bismol. Meaning you make a bracha on the ikar mitzvah. The first original candle. And then you can light the others. Some say then you light the original, then you go all the way to the other side, and then you go to the right. But either way, the Gra says, you don't make a bracha on the Mahadrin candle, while the Shulchan Aruch quoted that you do. What's the machlokes behind the Vilna Gaon and the Shulchan Aruch? So number one, Baba Kama, Milago Umilavar. What's the svar behind that issue? Number two, what about the Chanukah issue? Number three, and this already starts the secret of it all. Getting back to the Hidr Mitzvah Gemara in Shabbos Kufla Megimel. So Gemara says there, Tana Rabbana, what's the context of Hidr Mitzvah? Bris Milah. That is the context, the original context is Hidr Mitzvah. Here we go, Tana Rabbana, Hamo. So the Gemara describes that there are parts of the Arla that have to be removed, which are called Tzitzin HaMa'akvin Esamila, and there are parts of the Arla that do not have to be removed, but for Hidr Mitzvah, they're removed to make a nice, neat, surgical cut. Says the Gemara, Hamol, calls Machu Osik b'mila. The Gemara says, as long as one is involved in Bris Mila, the Moel is involved in the Mila, Choser, Bein al Tzitzin ha-ma'akvin, Bein al Tzitzin Bein al Tzitzin ha-ma'akvin ha-samila. He does the complete mitzvah, cutting both the parts of the skin that are ma'akiv, that would prevent the mitzvah from being done, or also the Tzitzin ha-shein ha-ma'akvin ha-samila. But Piresh, once he finished the Mila, once the Moel finished the act, Alatzitzin Makvin Esamila Choser, then he only would go back if he did not do a proper Bris Mila, if he left certain parts of the skin that are Ma'akiv the Mila. Alatzitzin She'en Makvin Esamila Eino Choser. But if he left parts of the skin that aren't needed, they're not Ma'akiv the Mila, so then he does not go back to cut them. This is the Gemara. Rashi adds in one very important word that the Gemara does not have. Rashi says, Bishabbos. Hamol Bishabbos. If somebody does Bris Mila on Shabbos, that's the context of the Gemara. So now, according to Rashi, let's understand what was the Gemara saying. Somebody's doing a Bris Mila on Shabbos. We know Bris Mila on Shabbos is mutter when it's a Mila Bismano, but it's a Malacha. We have to recognize the malacha of chovel, the malacha of wounding. Which of the lamatas malachas is chovel? Good question. Not for now. Four different opinions in the Rishonim. But there's a malacha there. So Rashi says that's what we're talking about. So when one is doing the bris milah on Shabbos, and one is still involved in the bris milah, so then one does the milah on the tzitzit ma'akvin and the tzitzit she'ena ma'akvin. All the tzitzit are removed, even the tzitzit that are not ma'akev. But for once one stopped doing the milah, then one is not allowed to go back for tzitzit she'ena ma'akvin. Why? Because it is not ma'akev, and it'll be a malacha daraisa on Shabbos. That's Shitas Rashi. So let's think about this for a minute. Rashi has at least two major chidushim. Number one, according to Rashi, I mean, maybe it's the Pashas of the Gemara. We're not blaming Rashi, but the Pashas of the Gemara. So according to Rashi, when you do the milah on Shabbos, which is a malacha daraisa, but you're allowed to do it if it's a milah bismano, you're allowed to cut even more than you need to cut. You're allowed to cut even tzitzin she'enan ma'akvinis amilah. Wow! What does that tell us about Hidr Mitzvah? If the tzitzin she'ena ma'akvin are only cut because of Hidr Mitzvah, what does that tell us about the concept of Hidr Mitzvah that is Doches Shabbos when it's Hidr Mitzvah of Bris Milah? So this already opens up our eyes to the sugya that we're going to talk about at this moment. And that is the following chakira. We have a chakira. It comes up in three other types, maybe more. I thought of three other sugyas where we have a similar type of question. Lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. Lifnei iver, we're not allowed to cause somebody or facilitate someone to do an aveira. The question is, when I facilitate someone doing an aveira. So, what does my scorecard say in Shamayim? Do I have a separate, what's called klali versus prati? Do I have a separate Lifnei Iver scorecard in Shamayim? So when I do Lifnei Iver of Treif and Lifnei Iver of Payas and Lifnei Iver of all the Averis, it's all the same Lifnei Iver? Or no, it's what's called Prati. When I do Lifnei Iver of Chazir, of eating pig, then I get a little bit of the Avera of Chazir. When I do Lifnei Iver of cutting off one's payas, so then I get a little bit of that Avera, what's called Prati, Claudia Prati. That's a sugi in Lifnei Iver, many different nafkaminas, right? Lifnei Iver of the big three is a machlokas between the Balamor and the Ramban. Again, many fascinating questions. But you have the question by Lifnei Iver. Similarly, the mitzvah of chinuch. When I have a mitzvah to be machanich my children, so is that one general mitzvah of chinuch? Every mitzvah, if I'm machanich them to wear tzitzis and to eat kosher and to all the mitzvahs, it's all chinuch. Or no? Every little mitzvah has a separate chinuch compartment on it. And when I'm machanich my child in the mitzvah of tzitzis, so then I get a little bit of the mitzvah of tzitzis. Or something like, so that's a question about the mitzvah of chinuch. You also have it by chatzi shir. But you have it by hidr mitzvah as well. And the question is, when I'm mahader a mitzvah, is that a separate idea? I did the mitzvah, and then there's a hidr mitzvah concept, which is independent and separate and not part of the mitzvah. Or do I say, no, hidr mitzvah integrates into the mitzvah itself, and it makes it a different mitzvah. And on every mitzvah scorecard in Shamayim is a hidr mitzvah section. And by doing that, I've really changed the elements of the mitzvah. So if we think about it, let's get back to Rashi. Rashi says that we're talking about Shabbos. Shabbos, that's when this bris milah is being done. Now, what does Rashi say? When I do the milah on Shabbos, I'm allowed to do extra chavola, extra wounding, even though it's just based on hidr mitzvah. What does that tell us? Seems to clearly tell us hidr mitzvah is part and parcel of the mitzvah. Because if it was just hidr mitzvah, only bris milah is docha Shabbos. Hidr mitzvah is not docha Shabbos. Ah, but if hidr mitzvah is part of bris milah, that hidr mitzvah is also integrated, and that's part. That's one chiddush in Rashi, which seems to point to us that it's part of the mitzvah. But if we think about it for a second, maybe you could have the opposite inference from Rashi as well. Because according to Rashi, let's say on a weekday, not on Shabbos, according to Rashi, the Gemara is talking about Shabbos. So on Shabbos, once you stop doing the milah, you don't go back for the tzitzin she'ena ma'akvin. Aye, but what about on a weekday? Mashma, according to Rashi, even if you did the milah and you only cut the tzitzin ma'akvin, let's say you want to go back to cut the tzitzin she'ena ma'akvin, you'd be able to. You'd be able to go back and do that. What do you mean? You already did the mitzvah. Now you're just doing hiddur. Wow. So maybe according to Rashi, there is an idea also of hiddur mitzvah independent from the mitzvah itself. Because you've already, let's say on a weekday, done the mitzvah, and now you're just going back to do the hiddur, and you, mashpah, you can still do that according to Rashi. So maybe according to Rashi, you have both elements. You have maybe hiddur mitzvah as part of the mitzvah, and hiddur mitzvah as an independent factor in the mitzvah. That's Shitas Rashi, how Rashi learns the Gemara. But if you look at the Rambam, many are familiar with this Rambam based on the Brisker Rav in Hilchos Chanukah. The Rambam quotes this Gemara not in Hilchos Shabbos, but in Hilchos Milah. In Hilchos Milah, meaning the Rambam interprets this Brisa, which says that if you're involved in the mitzvah, then you could go back for a Tzitzit HaMa'akvin and even do the Tzitzit She'en HaMa'akvin. Do extra cutting, even though you didn't need to do it, as long as you're involved in the mitzvah. But Pirish, once you stop doing the mitzvah, then you don't go back for the Tzitzit She'en HaMa'akvin. The Rambam says that's talking about weekday. What do you mean weekday? You finished the mitzvah. The mole already put his blade already away. Now he's like, oh, I didn't do Tzitzit She'en HaMa'akvin. What does the Rambam say? Eino chozer, don't go back. What do you mean don't go back? Why don't you go back? It's not Shabbos. What's the downside? It must be, say the Achronim, the Rambam holds that hiddur mitzvah does not exist at all outside of the mitzvah itself. When I beautify a mitzvah, it's the mitzvah done beautifully. It's not the mitzvah, and then I have a separate beautification schar that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give me. According to the Rambam, it's all part of every mitzvah. Rashi is unclear. You have both elements in the Chidushim of Rashi, but according to the Rambam, it seems like clearly that it's all part of the mitzvah itself. So that's a question that we have in Hiddur Mitzvah. Let's get back for a moment now, says Rav Soloveitchik, to the Suffolk in Baba Kama Daf Tes. Again, we could read this Gemara, and I've read the Gemara numerous times and never thought of the lumdus behind it. It says Rav Soloveitchik, no, that's exactly the suffix of the Gemara in Baba Kama, whether it's Shlishmi Lavar or Shlishmi Lago. What's the Gemara asking? How do you calculate a third for Hiddur Mitzvah? Is it a third how much the mitzvah is worth, or it's a third once you add it on the Hiddur, then it's a third of that? Why should it make a difference? Says Rav Soloveitchik, you have it there in source number 17, the Yitachain, Shehu Abir Besavik HaGemara. That's the question in the Gemara. In Mishar in Ashlish, Tehidr Visam Yilavar. Whether we calculate it from within, from without, Omilagor from within. Im Hidr Mitzvah Mahava Chelik Shalma Maisa Atzma. If the Hidr Mitzvah is part of the Mitzvah itself, Mistaver, it makes sense. Shashlish Mishur Milavar. Lepish Ozhao Safa, he Shlish Mikiyama Mitzvah. But if the Hiddur Mitzvah is a separate Kiyam, then it makes sense that the third is only calculated for the Mitzvah, not included in the Hiddur. Meidach, im Hiddur Mitzvah Kiyam b'fnei atzmo, hashir u'milago, v'ushir miyuchad ve'eino shir l'kiyam ha-mitzvah, v'dok. So, Rambam and Rashi might be discussing whether Hiddur Mitzvah is part and parcel, redefining the Mitzvah itself, or external, and this could be the Safek of the Gemara. Maybe this is even reflected in a discussion about the level of Hiddur Mitzvah itself. What level Chiyuv is Hiddur Mitzvah? So the Pashtus of the Gemara, Shabbos Kufla Megillah, we saw it, is that Hiddur Mitzvah is a Din D'Oraisa. Right? Why would I think otherwise? It's a Din D'Oraisa. It's learned out from Zekei Levi Anveyu, Hisna Elefanim Mitzvahs. It looks like a Din D'Oraisa. And the Chidushe Anshei Shem on the Gemara in Brachas, on the Rif in Brachas Lamed Ches, source 18, Inami Mishum de Iker Hiddur Mitzvah de Oraisa hi. Tichsiv Zekei Levan Veyu, it's a Din D'Oraisa. That's one Shita. The Ritva says Beferish in Sukkah that Hiddur Mitzvah is a Durabana. Where does the Ritva get this from? So the Gemara there, if you remember, Daf Yud Aleph Amabez, is discussing the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether Lulav Tzarech Eged or Ain Tzarech Eged. Right, the Chachamim say that lulav does not need to be a good, to be tied up with the other minim. While the Chachamim say that lulav ain't sarach. Rabbi Yehuda says that lulav, I didn't give you the Gemara, I'll just read it to you. I added on a couple of sources since I made the sheet. The Gemara says, that lulav, bein agud, bein she'en agud kasher. Rabbi Yehuda omer agud kasher, she'en agud pasul. So it's a machlokes. The Gemara then asks, but one second, there's a brisa. There's a brisa that says, l'chadchila tzarech eged, and b'dieved ain't tzarech eged. L'chadchila. So the question is, who is that like? Asks the Gemara. Who is that like? Says the Gemara, it's the Chachamim, And even though the Chacham say you don't need it, l'chadchila, you should have it. L'chadchila should have it. Says the Ritva there. Again, and this is a big topic, not for now, but the Ritva has an important line. It must be, says the Ritva, that hider mitzvah is derabanan. Because there's never a chilik on a d'oraisa level between l'chadchilas and b'di'evets. That's the line of the Ritva. We're not getting into that as a topic right now, but that's the Ritva. There's never a difference between the Chachil and the Evers on a Daraisa level. So the Ritva says, if Hidr Mitzvah is a concept Daraisa, it would be Ma'akev. And the fact that it's only L'chadchila here, and not B'dieved, so therefore it must be a Durabanan. That's what the Ritva says right here. Uparkinan dahainu mitzvah mitrabanan mishum shenemar zakeli v'anfei wisalafanum mitzvahs. So it's a machlok as we've shown him. The Chlushi Anshi Shem says that the Hidr Mitzvah is a Daraisa, like the Pashas of the Gemara, while the Ritva says it's Durabanan. So maybe we could say that they also might be arguing about our issue. If you say it's a Din Durabanan Pashtus, it's an independent idea. How could the Rabbanan add on something? Pashas, they wouldn't. It's a separate din to Rabbanan. If it's a daraisa, maybe it's because it integrates into each and every mitzvah. One might say that. I say might because if we think a little deeper about the Ritva seems to be saying the opposite. According to what we just suggested, the Ritva says hither mitzvah is Rabbanan, and therefore he holds it's a separate idea. But if we think about it a little deeper, I think it's exactly, and I saw some make this point also, the Ritva doesn't say that. Because what does the Ritva say? The Ritva says it must be derabanan, the concept of hider mitzvah, because if it was daraisa, you would need it, and it would be ma'akev. But what do you mean it would be ma'akev? Maybe it could be daraisa, and it won't be ma'akev. If it's a separate idea, if hider mitzvah is not integrated into the mitzvah, but it's a separate idea, then maybe even if it's daraisa, if you don't do it, you were yotze the mitzvah, you weren't yotze the hidur. Why wouldn't that be a possibility? The Ritva doesn't have that possibility because it must be the Ritva himself holds that Hidr Mitzvah is part and parcel of the Mitzvah. And that's why he says if it would be Da'oraisa as part of the Mitzvah, it would be Ma'akev and you wouldn't be able to get away without it. If it's Darabanan, then even if it's integrated, it's not Ma'akev. See, even though on the surface it sounds like maybe if you say Da'oraisa, Darabanan, Da'oraisa is integrated, Darabanan is not, it could be the Ritva himself holds, seems that he holds, that no, it is integrated. And that's why if it had been Da'oraisa, it would be Ma'akev. And it's only not Ma'akev because it's Darabanan. And maybe, if you say the other side, maybe if it's Darabanan, Darabanan have the power on a Darabanan level to create another aspect within the mitzvah itself. So we have Shlishmi Lagor, Shlishmi Lavar. We have the Rambam and the Rashi in Masechah Shabbos. We have Daraisa Darabanan. One final point before we bring it back home, getting back to the beginning of the shiur. There are some shitos in Rishonim that hider mitzvah sometimes without it would passel the mitzvah. Meaning like the Havamina of the Ritva. That if it would be hider mitzvah, daraisa, so then it would be passel. We have some shitos like that. And not only a Rashi, as we'll see, we have a Gemara. First Rashi, a well-known Rashi, beginning of Perek Lulav Hagazel, the third Perek of Sukkah, where Rashi quotes, why is a lulav yavesh pasul? Why is a dried out lulav pasul? Because you need mitzvah mihuderes dechsiv ve'an vehu, says Rashi. Zekele ve'anvehu, Rashi seems to say, hider is ma'ake b'di'evet. Says Tosfos there, that can't be. Hider is only a lechadchila, says Tosfos. Here, there's a lot. Velokum oshbiris bekuntris. Mishum desiv zekele ve'anvehu. Dein va'aveyo lechadchila v'lo mitzvah ba'achi. So, isn't Tosfos right? It's a din l'chadchila. I didn't give it to you, but the Me'iri on that Gemara says, no, there are different types of hidurim. Some are more ma'akev than others. Rashi would agree that eged of a lulav is l'chadchila, and that doesn't passel if you don't have it, according to the Chachamim. But Yavesh maybe is a different type, says the Me'iri. Af agav, umitokach, ani choser. Choser lafaresh kipirish gedolei arabanim. That's Rashi. Umishem zeh keli v'anveyu abagav de below agdo kasher b'di'eved lo kol amidos shavos bipsul she'eno hadar. Hidur is not the same by every mitzvah. Shayavish kula kolich luch kala kolich lucho. If all the moisture is dried out, v'nitlo hadraaso kadam shenito chiyuso. Right, we think that we know what a dried out lulav means. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes that he used the same lulav 3 years in a row. 3 years in a row, he had the only lulav in town, and when he was still in Russia, he kept it over the years. So then you get to the shilohs of a dried out lulav. We think, like a few days into Sukkis, oh, it's a little dry. Okay, maybe Aravis. But a lulav? So the Meiri says that there's hidur, that's v'chadchila's hidur, even b'dieved. But the fact that there could be a hidur that's ma'akev the mitzvah is clearly pointing in the direction that hidur becomes part and parcel of the mitzvah. It's not just I do a mitzvah and that I also get some credit in Shemayim for beautifying my mitzvahs. It becomes a different mitzvah without the hidur. And sometimes it's demanded. Sometimes it's demanded according to some Rishonim, like Rashi, or finally, last source in this section, there's even a Gemara. The Gemara Maseches Gittin on Daf, I gave it to you here, on Daf Chaf. Turning, going over to the top of the next page. Amar Rav Chisda. Get shekasvo shalol lishma. The heirul of komus lishma. Rav Chisda says, if there's a get that somebody wrote shalol lishma, we know a get, Rachmana Lislan, somebody gives his wife a get. Said, if it's written shalol lishma, it has to be written l'shein the husband, l'shein the wife. If it was written shalol lishma, right, the sofer, you know, wrote Yosef and Shimon, whatever it is, names, and then he found somebody. The heirul of komus lishma. Then what did he do? He just wrote over it. He didn't erase it, he didn't write a new one, he just wrote over it. So does that work? He wrote over it lishma. So this is a machlokas tanoim. What's the machlokas tanoim in a totally different context? Hilchos Sefer Torah. If I'm a sofer and I'm have to write Shem Hashem. Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's the next one I'm supposed to write. But I got mixed up and I think I have to write Yehuda. And I wrote Yehuda, but I left out the Dalet. So I ended up writing Yud Kei Vav Kei like I was supposed to, but I didn't have kavana to do it. I thought I was going to write Yehuda, but I left out the Dalet. I got mixed up, but I... So does that work? What do I do? It's puzzle. Could I just write over the letters Yud Kei Vav Kei with more ink? Would that work? Machlokas. Mavar lav komus umakacho divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Yehuda says, just write over it. Mavar lav komus and sanctify it that way. And the Gemara is saying, so he would say the same thing by get. Just like it works by Sefer Torah, it works by get. Vachachamim omer meizim and amufcha. Chacham say you can't do that. No. Ein Hashem and amufcha. It doesn't have Kedusha. It doesn't work. It doesn't have Shem Hashem status. So the Gemara says, oh, this is the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, just like by Sefer Torah, so too by get. Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov says the Gemara, maybe not. Dil malohi ad kan lo kamir Rabbanon hasam de be'inan zekelev yadei avaleka. No, maybe the Rabbanon only argue there and don't allow you to just write over the words of the Torah because of zekelev yanvehu. That's why it doesn't work. But here by get, maybe it would work. What is the Gemara saying? Zek Kelev Yaveyu is a din le'ikuva. According to this suggestion, according to the Rabbanan, if you don't write it with Lishma, the Gemara is calling that Zek Kelev Yaveyu, and Rashi quotes there. His normal fun of a mitzvah is, of course, the Gemara in Shabbos, so it's a din le'ikuva. So it's a din le'ikuva, again, as we said, that tells us that it's an integrated idea. It's not just an extra idea, but it becomes part of the mitzvah itself. So this is the question about hidur mitzvah. Is it a separate idea, or does it affect the mitzvah and redefine the mitzvah in ways that maybe it's even ma'akev? We saw all of these shitas, Rashi and the Rambam, Milago and Milavar, the Safik and the Gemara, according to Rav Soloveitchik and Baba Kama Daftes, and the, oh, I forgot to get back to, that's the machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Gra. The Shulchan Aruch, who says that you can light the Chanukah candles, you light the new one every time, because he holds Hidur Mitzvah integrates into the Mitzvah. So this isn't just a separate Hidur. It's all one big Mitzvah. And therefore, you can light the new candle. And the Vilna Gaon maybe holds, no. There's Mitzvah, and there's Hidur Mitzvah. And don't forget the original. And the original one is the classic Nereshu Beso, and that's the one you have to light. So this issue could be the Machlokes between the Shulchan Aruch and the Gra. Let's take a step back for a moment and think about what this concept symbolizes really to us. What does the concept of Hidur Mitzvah reflect, especially according to the approach of integration, especially if we say it combines? Let's remember for a moment, we were not commanded to be Mahadir the Mitzvos, right? Hidur Mitzvah, as the Gemara formulates it, we accepted upon ourselves to beautify the mitzvahs. We accepted that we have the power to take the mitzvah that the mitzvah gave us. We take the mitzvah that is all from Hashem and we do it in a way with our own personal touch. with our own embellishment, with our own addition. That's what Hiddur Mitzvah symbolizes. Hiddur Mitzvah symbolizes where we team up, so to speak, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He gives us the mitzvah, but we give it back in our own way. We take part in the creative process of Avodas Hashem, not just fulfilling what we have to do, but doing it in a lavish and maximalist way, which reflects our own initiative in the process. That Hiddur Mitzvah is specially, according to the integration approach, even if not. But that's Hiddur Mitzvah. Let's get back to Kriyas Yamsuf. What was Kriyas Yamsuf? What was different about it than everything that happened before? Makos Bechoros, Dam Sfardei Akinim, all the Makos, Kriyas Yamsuf. What was different at that moment? Because that was the moment that we said we need to do Hiddur Mitzvah. Zek Kelev Yanveo, I need to be part, I need to take my mitzvahs and add to them and embellish them. That exactly happened only at Kriyas Yamsuf. Why there and not before? There are many sources. I think I gave you four. Many sources that tell us Kriyas Yamsuf was a major shift in the process. Major shift in everything that had happened since the day that Yaakov and the Shvatim went down to Mitzrayim. Up until this point, it was all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was all Hashem, right? So much so that Makos Bechoros, the climax, Ani v'lo Malach, Ani v'lo Saraf, it's only me. Yes, Moshe and Aaron maybe raised their arms and raised the stick, but it was all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? We didn't do anything. We didn't take part in the process. And all of a sudden we come to Kriyas Yamsuf. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? Moshe Rabbeinu starts davening. And we have one of the most surprising psukim in the entire Torah. Bnei Yisrael and Moshe are davening to Hashem. Hashem turns to them and says, what would we expect? Well, what have we heard up until now in the Torah? Hashem heard their tefillos. Hashem heard their naka. Hashem remembered, right? What does Hashem say? Stop crying and just go. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, ma titzak elai, daber el bnei Yisrael v'yiso. Just go. What does that mean? They're davening. They're surrounded. The Mitzrayim are behind them. The Yamsuf is in front of them. They have nowhere to go. What does that mean? Rashi, ma titzak elai, 25. Lamadnu shayem Moshe omedu mispalel. Amar la kodesh baruch hu. Lo eis atal arech betfila. Sheyisrael nesudem batzara. Matazak Eli, Hadavar Alai, Hadavar Talibal Alech Moshener Vachulu, Dabrobani Sovi Yiso, Ein Lohem Elisa, Shein Ayamo Mebifnehem, Kedai Zchus Avuseyem, Vehem, Vohemuna Sheminu Biviyatsu, Likro Alohem Hayam. Says Rashi, Matitzak Eli, Hashem says, you have to take part in this. You have to take part in this. Matitzak Eli, says the Meshachachma, Nire, Dimefaresh dekol b'nei Yisrael halchu acharei Moshe, kitzon bebika achar haroe. Until this point, we were like sheep following the shepherd. Amnam bayam, tziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe, sheyisa achrei ha'am. Hashem tells Moshe, Moshe, they go first. They go first. Vehema be'emunasam bo yelchu b'toch hayam, u'bizchus ha'nesia sheyavo toch ha'mayim bayam. It's time for Bnei Yisrael to take part in the process. It's time for them to be my partner. Yes, I'll split the yam, but not until they go in. Not until they partner with me, with their actions, with their emunah. And that's what he says, a deeper idea. Moshe went behind them. Because he waited for them to go first. And the Arachayim HaKadosh also, in his own way, we mentioned this a number of years ago, the Arachayim asks, most sharply, Matitzak Eli, Hashem says, what are you crying to me? Ask the Arachayim, what else does a Jew do at a time of Tzaris? But don't talk to me, Hashem says, what else are we supposed to do? Kasha, Ulamul mi Yitzak, Imlo Hashem Elokav. Who else are we supposed to turn to? The pasuk in Yonah. What are we supposed to do? What does Hashem mean? Just don't daven? Says the, skipping a couple of lines, says the Arachayim HaKadosh. Vehein emes ki chafetz Hashem letzedek Yisrael. Aval Hashem wants to help. Aval ein koach berachamim letzad maaseim kinizkar. It's not enough. Hashem can't do it alone. Asher al kain amar la Moshe tshuva nitzachas ma titzak elai pirish Ein hadavar toli biyadi. Scary words. Hashem says it's not toli on me. My hands are tied. Hagam sha'ani chafetz asos neis. I want to do a miracle. Kivan shehem einam ru'uyim midas hadin mona'as. Ve'in koach barachamim kenegan midas hadin mona'as. So what do you have to do? Daber el b'nei Yisrael, pirish, zos ha'etza ha'yutza, lahagbir tzara chesed v'arachamim. Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yis'atzmu be'emuna b'chol ibam. Ha'emuna, jump into the water, and that will help everything take place. Kriyas Yamsuf was the moment that B'nai Yisrael started taking part of the process. Kriyas Yamsuf was the moment that they didn't just take it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they were part of it. As the Tzfas Emes writes, Pesach Tafresh Lamed Beis, Vayosh Hashem Yamu, Hoshiris Yisrael, not only Osam, but Imahem Va'al Yedehem. And that was very different. V'yaminu Bashem of Moshe Avdo, ultimate emuna, is when we realize that we are participants in the process. Ironically, dafka at the moment that we take part in it, is when, that's when our emunah has to be the greatest, that we are the junior partner, but we're still a partner. And we recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's in charge, and he's the one that's involved in the geula, but we are also part in it. We have to realize that I also have a job to fulfill. I have to realize that I need to jump into the water. We mention almost every year the Rabbi Tzadok from Tzidkas HaTzadik in Kuf Nun Dalet. Kishem Chitzarach Adam Amin Vashem Yisbarach. Just like we have a mitzvah to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kach Tzarach Achar Kach Laha Amin Ba'atzmo. We also have to believe in ourselves. Ratzalomar. Sheyesh Lashem Yisbarach Esek Imo. He believes in me. He has a job for me. V'she'enenu poel batel. Shebin Laila V'gomer. U'kechayso sode. Shlachem Yisasam Nevdu. We have a tachlis. Rak Tzarach Laha Amin Ki Nafsho Mimikar Chayim Yisbarach Shemo. V'Hashem Yisbarach Misaneg U'mishtasheya Bak She'oser Ritzono. That's V'yaminu B'Hashem. We believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Moshe Avdo in all of us who could be like Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's what changed at Kriyas Yamsuf. And that's why they sung Shira Dafka Kriyas Yamsuf. Because ultimate recognition and emunah is when we're part of it. We sing Shira because Hashem gives me the opportunity to take part in my own salvation, in my own emunah, in my own part of the process. And that's what Geula stands for, and that's the definition of Geula. And that's the Yerushalmi, if we could think about it also. The Yerushalmi that asks, Tchila, why didn't they say Shira earlier? That was only Tchilas Geulasan. Right? Why is it Tchilas Geulasan? Because Sof Geulasan was only later. When we took part of it, that's the beginning and the end of Pesach. The beginning is when Hashem does it himself. Anivelo Mach, Anivelo Sarah, but that's only the beginning. The ultimate is when we take part in it, the Kriyas Yamsuf, when we recognize that. That's the Magen Avram. The Magen Avram that says, Kriyas Yamsuf could also be Zechiras Yisias Mitzrayim. Because Kriyas Yamsuf, when we took part in it, that's the ultimate in the process of Geula. Ultimate Emuna is when we believe in ourselves along with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, as a junior partner. But we recognize that He is the one in charge. And this is a necessary second stage. But it's the second stage, and that's where you could count for Zechiras Yisias Mitzrayim. And finally, maybe now we understand why Hidur Mitzvah so beautifully flowed from this event. Because Hidur Mitzvah, as we have explained, is about when we add our personal touch. When we take the mitzvah that Hashem was mitzaveh us, and we embellish it, and we add our personal wrapping to the mitzvah. It integrates into the mitzvah. And that's what we did at Kriyas Yamsuf. At Kriyas Yamsuf, we took part in the process. Right when we did that, we recognized this unbelievable concept, and we were mekabel it on ourselves. To be mahader mitzvos, to follow with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just doing the mitzvahs, but doing the mitzvahs in a way that we take a creative, active role in it, and in that way, we can beautify with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and be a creative with him as well. The goal of life is partnering with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The goal of life is seeing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does and being able to be one with him. Rav Soloveitchik writes this four or five examples with that we have. I think we mentioned part of this in a drasha a couple of years ago. Rav Soloveitchik notes in source number 30 in Moadei Arav, in benching, we know, Yish Arba Brachos, Shebehen Anu Modim LaKadosh Baruch Hu Al HaMazon. In benching, we have four brachos. Bin Yerushalayim LaSolovo. We have a long bracha achrona after eating bread. Yes, Rav Soloveitchik, isn't that somewhat ironic that when it comes to bread, where man does so much, we take the grain and we grind it and we knead it and we do everything, and then we have this whole long bracha HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How about fruit? I eat an apple. An apple is something that comes straight from Hashem. I put the seed in the ground, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically gives it to me. And that just gets a burden of hashus. Shouldn't I give much more of a thank you, Hashem, by a fruit? You did everything. By bread, I get some of the credit because I put in so much hard work into making the bread. Says Rav Soloveitchik, that's exactly the point. Because when we're part of it, that's exactly the goal of life. The goal of life is for us to team with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's read Rav Soloveitchik's words. Line 15. B'yitziras ha'pri, trumas ha'adam hi minimalis. By a fruit, man is just man's input is minimal. Hapri notzar kulo b'derech hateva. The fruit just comes. Hapri mispatech me'elav. It develops by itself. Me'nates mabshil me'elav. It ripens. The afilu noshem and eitz me'elav. Afilu madam tapetzalitz. Fine, I have to climb the tree. I have to go get it, but that's not the creation. Hutzarach wach liktof alechlos hapri. I just cut it. Achein tafkido b'achanas hapri minimali. HaKadosh Baruch Hu megish l'adam as a priest shalem u'muchan Hashem gives it to me. Barama b'sisit, ein hevdo ben amon j'yar b'midbar, l'ben apri abamana eitz. There's no real difference, says the Rav Soloveitchik, between the man and a fruit. The man and fruit, because they basically come straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I didn't have any part in the process, really. And that's why, though, there's less of a demand. But when it comes to bread, I take part in the process. Hashem allows me to take part in the process. That's the goal of life. And therefore, one has a more elaborate v'yachalta, v'savata, uveirachta. And another example, says Rav Soloveitchik. The difference between, he doesn't quote this, but Befeirish, I'm adding in the Malbim to his words. There's two different words that we have in Hebrew. That mean Hashem saves us. Yeshua and Ezra. Yeshua and Ezra, they both mean salvation and help. But the Malbim points out, isn't it interesting that the one who brought us in the first time was Yehoshua bin Nun, and the one who brought us in the second time was Ezra HaSofer? They both mean salvations and help. What's the difference? Explains Rav Soloveitchik, Yeshua means it's all Hashem. It's all Hashem. Yeshua. Yehoshua. It was Nisim and Eflos, the 31 kings getting to Yerushalayim. With Ezra, it was a much more natural experience. It was little by little. It was Chazakah. It wasn't kibush, as the to use the Rambam's lashonos. Be Yeshua ein la adam tafkid kol shu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu levado poel. Lumatzotz be Ezra ha'adam hu poel hu anokedes ayozma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu misayim u'matzliach es pulaso. But the greatest is Ezra, because then we take part in the process. Not for now. Why does it say vayosh Hashem? According to our vert, not for now. But that's partnering with Berachas Hamazon versus Borei Nefashos. That's Yeshua versus Ezra. That he continues and says that's Yitzias Mitzrayim versus Kriyas Yamsuf. Yitzias Mitzrayim, that was a Yeshua. But when it comes to Kriyas Yamsuf, that of course we're involved. Lo'umazos, line 30 and 31. Mitzrayim, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Yeshua Gemura. Lo'ayetzorach ba Ezra. Mitzad Adam. Hagam HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo ratza Ezra kazo. Hashem didn't want. Hashem said, stay in your house. Be quarantined. Lo tetsu mipesach beso ad boker. Don't go out. Kriyas Yamsuf itzbiya hitziya la'am Yisrael tafkid katan b'geula. Do something. Do a kfitza. Jump in. L'kfotz l'toch hayam od l'fnei shayam yibaka. And finally, the Rav said, not only is that Birchas Hamazon and Borei Nefashos and Yeshua and Ezra and Yitzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf. That's why, if we knew and we could go to Har Sinai Bizman Azed, the place where the Torah was given, what an unbelievable mountain. You could play games on top of the mountain. There's no longer any Kedusha to Har Sinai, the place where the Torah was given. While Har HaMoriah, the place where the Torah was not given, the place that David bought, that has everlasting Kedusha. What's the difference? Explains Rav Soloveitchik, because Har Sinai, we did nothing. Yes, we prepared ourselves, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down and gave us the Torah. Yo Matan Torah Seinu. Matan Torah Seinu, on the bottom. Chore Harav Hosivki, Achashiv Shalas Arvus Adam B'tochni Yosef Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That plays out with Har Sinai, Har Moriah. Har Moriah, we sacrificed. Yitzchak Avinu, we brought Karbanos, Adam and Noach, and so many other, and Yaakov's dream. It was all part of what we did. And when we team up, that's the goal of life. To be partners with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like we felt at Kriyas Yamsuf. We wanted to be part, because Kedusha is always a group effort. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he quotes at the end, at a sofer, imbues a klaf with Kedusha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a klaf, a sofer adds his das. So many Kedushos, Yontif, Kedushas, Yontif. So many have to do with teaming the team effort of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael. Two months ago on January 30th, there was a special celebration that took place. 5 years ago, there was a 10-year-old boy named Nave Schindler. And he decided, when the three boys were captured and kidnapped and ultimately found to be murdered, he said, I want to do something for them. I want to write a Sefer Torah. He was 10 years old. And everybody laughed, like, what, you're going to write a Sefer Torah? His parents weren't people of means. You're going to write a Sefer Torah? He says, yeah, I'm going to write a Sefer Torah. And he started selling candy at lunch in his school. And on Fridays, he set up lemonade stands outside. And then he got his Tenuah Noah, he got his youth group to start doing things little by little. And everybody's like, you know how much a Torah costs? Hundreds of thousands of shekel. Candy, lollipops, 10-year-old boy, Naveh. He started. And sometimes he lost some of the money, he found some of the money. Thursday, January 30th, 2 months ago, they had a Ksiva Saosios. He and his town and the parents of the three boys. And they said they had never been to something just like that. They had a lot of Zichronos and many other events to remind them. But 5 years later, because there was a boy, a 10-year-old boy that had a dream that this is something that I want to do. I want to team up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu because I know if I put in the effort, if I jump into the Yam, he will help me. It might have seemed impossible for everybody else, but it was possible for a 10-year-old boy named Naveh because he never stopped believing. V'yaminu b'Hashem Moshe Avdo, he knew the Rebbe Tzadok. Not only did he believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he believed in himself. So, teaming up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a goal of life. Teaming up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu transforms us. Transforms who we are. The Sfas Emes points out in that same piece, in Source 31, we know, right when Bnei Yisrael were in the Yam, right as the Meshech Chachma talks about this at Lent in Parshas B'Shalach, V'mayim lam choma chema. Chema, they were fighting with each other. Hamibli and Kavarim, they just said earlier to Moshe, well, there weren't enough graves in Mitzrayim, we could have stayed there. And in a second, what happened? Az Yashir Moshe of Bnei Yisrael? How did that happen? V'hinei berega echod, nefchu mi'amiras Hamibli and Kavarim, lomar zeh keli v'yanveyu, ros ha'shivcha layam. Ki bevade kriyas yamsuf lo haya b'yam atzmo, rak b'kol ish Yisrael. There was a kriyas yamsuf in all of our hearts. There was a kriyas yamsuf in the focus of Am Yisrael. And it was kriyas yamsuf, you know, that they experienced and changed who they were. And in a second, you could go hamibli ein kvarim, and you could change that too. Rabbi Jonathan Sachs, we mentioned this in a Parsha Shir a couple of weeks ago. Rabbi Jonathan Sachs notes that Bnei Yisrael complained almost every step of the way. There was always a section of story in Sefer Bamidbar for sure. But in Shmos, they complained for water, and they complained for meat, they complained for everything. And all of a sudden, you come to Parshas Truma, Tetzaveh, Kisisa, besides the Egel, question when that took place, but that wasn't complaining. But ask Rabbi Sachs, what changed? In Truma, Moshe Rabbeinu said, who wants to donate money? And all of a sudden, they were throwing money at Moshe Rabbeinu. What changed? Besides which, why is the making of the Mishkan, ask Rabbi Sachs, in the book of Exodus at all? Why is this in Sefer Shmos anyway? Right? Why do you need a Mishkan? You'll just have a base of Migdash later on. Its natural place seems to be in the book of Leviticus, Vayikra, which is overwhelmingly devoted to an account of the service of the Mishkan and the Karbanos. So what's the message of the Mishkan here, and why did everybody all of a sudden stop complaining when they started building the Mishkan? Says Rabbi Sachs, turning the page. And they complained and they complained. He says, it was then, line 18, that God said, let them build something together. This simple command transformed the Jews. During the whole construction of the tabernacle, there were no complaints. The people contributed. It is not what God does for us that transforms us. It is what we do for God. So long as every crisis was dealt with by Moshe and miracles, as long as all nisim and nefilos, the Jews remained in a state of dependency. Their default response was complaint. For them to grow to adulthood and responsibility, they had to undergo a transition from passive recipients of God's blessings to active creators. We had to become shutafin b'maisa bracious. And that's what happened with the Mishkan. Top of the next column, Judaism is God's call to responsibility. He does not want us to rely on miracles. He does not want us to be dependent on others. He'll give us a miracle sometimes if we go first. And from this we see one of the greatest challenges of leadership is to give people the chance to give, to contribute, and to participate. Because when we team up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then we become different people. And we become transformed. If we think about the first mitzvah that every Jewish boy, we spoke about this before, the first mitzvah that every Jewish boy does, and the mitzvah that transforms halachically the Jew more than any other mitzvah, is the mitzvah of Bris Milah, as we know. The Gemara tells us in Nedarim Daf Lamed Aleph, 13 times in the Torah, it says the word Bris by Bris Milah. G'dola Milah, Shnechazel, Shlosh Esrei Brisos. And the Gemara talks about G'dola Milah, it's Docha Shabbos, G'dola Milah, Shekol Mitzvah, Shalas HaKadosh Avram Avinu, Lenikra Shalim HaShemo. Greatest Milah, all the mitzvahs that Avram did, he wasn't called a Shalim until he did Bris Milah. Imalihi, without Bris Milah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have created the world. There's something defining about Bris Milah, as if we have to give this boy a message right when he's born. So what is it? So a thought that we've mentioned in other contexts. We know at the beginning of a bris, there's a minhag to say as the baby is brought in, the beginning psukim of Parshas Pinchas. Vayidabar Hashem Moshe l'emor, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, Heshev eschamasi, v'chulu, v'lo kilihis ben Yisrael b'kenasi, lochein emor, hininosin lo esbrisi shalom. So the word bris is mentioned. But is there any deeper connection between Pinchas? Why do we say these psukim? It says the word bris many other times in the Torah too. What does Pinchas have to do with the bris? So maybe the secret is the Medrash. The Medrash and the Yaakov Shimoni, many questions were asked. I think it was to Rabbi Akiva. The Chinuch captures it in 34, but look at 35 for a moment. The question is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does everything. He creates hands and hearts and lungs and livers and toes and fingers. Why didn't he just finish the job? One of the Apikarsim asked Rabbi Akiva, Amarlo, Holu, Chavitz B'Mila, Lameno Mo B'Me'imo. Why aren't we born with a Brila, with a Mila? Just finish the job. Hashem does everything. Amarlo, Lefish Lo Nothan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yisrael, Etzah Mitzvos, Elo Letzarev Bohem. Because he wants us to be purified through the mitzvos. And that's only done if we take part in it. That's only done if we partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem could do 99.9%. He gives us everything. He gives us a body. He gives us the senses. He gives us everything. We just have to do the last part. As the Chinuch captures this so beautifully. V'ratzo lios hashlam al yidei ha'adam. Hashem wants the completion to be done by man. V'lo baro shalom beten. He did not create us complete from birth. Lirmos elav. To teach us, to hint us, kikasher tashlim tzuras gufo al yado. Just like we're completing our physical body, kain biyado lashlim tzuras nafsho, so too we can complete our spiritual body, behekshir pulosav, with perfection of my actions. That's the mitzvah, and that's so Mila. What is Mila about? It's about self-perfection, about taking part in the process. What did we just say? Whenever we take part in the process, that redefines, reshapes who we are. Mila symbolizes that more than any other mitzvah. We take part in the process, and then halachically changes my status. Maybe, and that's what Pinchas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu steps aside and says, Pinchas, you do the job. Because that's the message of Bris Mila. And if you think about it, maybe that's Dafka Y, getting back to the beginning of the shir. Maybe that's why the whole Hidur Mitzvah source is by Bris Mila. Because Hidur Mitzvah, as we said, is about taking part in the process, about taking the mitzvah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did and embellishing it and adding my own personal touch. Hidur Mitzvah is related to Bris Mila related to Bris Milah itself. Story was told. It's online. You can look at it. I heard it a number of years ago. I don't think I ever mentioned it in a drasha. Talking about, you know, trying to redefine ourselves and redefining the situation. And when we team up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, unexpected results can happen, and sometimes even unbelievable, and you wouldn't even realize it. Rabbi Grossman, famous Rabbi Grossman from Migdal HaEmek, right? He won a number of years ago. He won Pras Yisrael. He won the Israel Prize. And he says, you can look at it again. He tells the story better than I'm going to tell it. He tells it in Hebrew. It's on YouTube. And he tells the story that after he won the prize, he was traveling to America, and he goes onto the plane, and everybody know him, and everybody on the LL attendants are saying, hi, Rabbi Grossman, Mazel Tov, please go into first class. He's like, I'm not going into first class. I've never been in first class. He said, no, please, we have space. Go into first class. He said, I had never been in first class. I don't know what to do, but okay, I went in. They wanted me to go into first class. So he said, I went into first class. He says, and you know, there were seats two, two, and two. He says, he was on one side. The middle two seats were empty. And then on the left side, there was a couple, an older American couple speaking English. And he sits down. He says, I don't know exactly why I did this. He says, but this is what I do. He says, I went over and started talking. He says, it was a, you know, a portly fellow. And I didn't know who he was. I was speaking in broken English. I was telling him I work with children and, you know, I work with Migdal HaEmek and, you know, can I show you a video? I have a video in English about what we do. So I had my iPad. So I opened it up and I played it for him and I went to sit down in my seat. And I saw he watched it for 5 minutes. And, you know, after 5 minutes, I went back to get it. And, you know, I've never been in first class before, so I don't know what everything does. When I went to get the iPad, I put my hand on his armrest. Little did I know that there's a button on the armrest that when you press the button, the chair turns into a bed, straight back. I put my hand on the button. All of a sudden, this man that I did not know who he was is lying flat on his back, and he's a heavy man. And he's lying there, and all of a sudden, I'm like, oh my God, what did I just do? I'm like shaking, and he's looking at me like, what in the world just happened? And he says, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what to do. I was in shock. So what would you do? I don't know what to do. I just bent down and gave him a kiss on his forehead. Classic Rabbi Grossman. And then I picked up his seat and I said, I'm sorry. And I just went back and I just wanted to go off the plane. I sat there. I was all red and I sat there. A couple minutes after that experience, he's starting to walk over to me. I'm like, okay, what does he want? What is he going to do? He's going to scream at me again. He's going to ask me to go out of first class. He goes, he says, Rabbi, he says, you're not going to believe this story, but it's true. He says, my name is A.G., right? Rabbi Grossman, never heard of him, but again, a very famous evangelicist, John Hagee, and from Texas. And he says, I've been to Israel 3 times in the past couple of months. I have millions of dollars that I've been trying to figure out who to give it to. Some charity I know that has to do with children. I'm a good friend of Bibi, and I went to all these places, and I have no idea. Nothing hit my heart, and I didn't know what to do. So I got back on the plane and asked my wife. I said to my wife, let God give me a sign. Let God give me a sign. If there's anybody who kisses me on my forehead and works with children, that's the sign I'm giving him the money. Rabbi Grossman said, you might not believe it, but that's what happened. And that's how I built my next building. I have no idea. If you'd have asked me, am I going to go and kiss Hagee's forehead? I'm not going to kiss Hagee's forehead. You could have paid me $1 million. I wasn't going to go kiss Hagee's forehead. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his ways. And when we partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we could redefine ourselves. We could redefine the situation that we find ourselves in. So it's the goal of life to partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the goal. And when we partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we redefine who we are like Bris Milah, and we redefine the situation sometimes. But finally, when we partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we view it as such, we can look at our life in a totally different way than we ever have. If you look in the Psukim at the end of Bereishis, the source 37, Yosef, right, reveals himself to his brothers, Vayomer Yosef el Achav, Ani Yosef ha'od avichai. Is my father still alive? The brothers couldn't answer him. Can you follow me, Panav? And what does Yosef say? Come closer. I'm Yosef that you sold. But don't be angry. Don't be angry that you sold me. Hashem sent me here before. 2 years. Ask the Mefarshim. It's interesting. Yosef starts off by saying, you sold me, you sold me, you sold me. Two times. And then all of a sudden, starting in the middle of Pasuk Hey, he changes his tune. That I was sent. Shlachani Elokim lefnechem. Vayishlacheni Elokim. Lo atem shlachtem osihena kiha Elokim. Was he sold to Mitzrayim? Was he sent to Mitzrayim? Which one was it? Yosef recognized that he was sent. Yosef recognized that a Jew was not sold, a Jew was sent. Yosef could have said, I was sold, meaning if I had different brothers, if I had a different family situation, if I was only back in Canaan, then I could serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. If this, I've been sold. But he didn't say that. He says, this is who I am, this is what I am, this is what I have, and I've been sent. And I realize that I have a shlichus. And he realized, shlucho shel adam kemoso, being a shliach on behalf of the entire shvatim, on the entire nation, what is chus? What an opportunity that he had to be the shliach of Am Yisrael. Rabbi Akiva Eiger, we know, was the rabbi in Posen. We mentioned him before. And the one time he had to be out of town, and there was going to be a wedding of a very important person in Posen. He wasn't going to be there, so there was another rav in town. That was a tremendous masmid. He never left the Beis Medrash. He learned Yom Valayla. Rabbi Akiva Eiger didn't have a choice. He said, I need a rabbinic figure that was going to be at the wedding. So he goes over to his friend and he says, please, could you go for me? Could you go to the wedding for me? I'm not going to be around in town. He's like, sure, I'll go, whatever you need. Okay? Good. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger leaves town. It was the night of the wedding. And what happens? The wedding starts, and to everybody's amazement, this rabbi, this masmid of the Beis Medrash, was the first one at the wedding. When the doors opened, he was there before pictures started. No pictures, but whatever they did at the beginning, he was there. He was there for the smorgasbord. He was there. I don't know what smorgasbord they had in Posen, whatever they had. He was there for the reception. He was there from the beginning. They're like, wow, I guess he came early because probably has a Seder later. He came, he stayed for the chuppah. They're like, okay, Mistami is going to leave now. And he stayed. And he stayed. And he stayed. He stayed for the dancing. And he stayed for more dancing. And he stayed for just for the family. He was there till 2 o'clock in the morning. And they finally went over to him and said, I don't understand. You're the biggest masmid in the city. What are you staying so many hours for? What do you stay so long for? So he says, you don't understand. I'm here because Rabbi Akiva Eiger sent me. I'm the shliach of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. You think I would want to give that up even for a moment? I'm the shliach of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, shlucho shalom kemoso. I get to stand in his shoes for a little bit. I'm the shliach. I'm not going to give this up for anything because I want to savor every moment because he recognized that he was the shliach. We each have our own situation and it's easy to feel that we've been sold. Like Yosef could have felt. If only my spouse was different. If only my kids were different. If only my job would be different. It's not fair. Why do I have to have this? Especially a year like this year. Why this and why that? And it's not fair. We don't understand. We don't understand. But we learn from Yosef that a Jew is not sold. A Jew is sent. There's no mechira, there's shlichus. We've been sent. We each have a shlichus. At this time. At this time of Corona, we each have a shlichus to fulfill a task. Rav Soloveitchik writes, I didn't give it to you, but it's unbelievable. Yemezi Karon, towards the beginning of the Sefer, Ha'adam Nivra B'tor Shliach, every person is created as a shliach. Etzem Ayitzira, the creation, the birth of a person itself, is by definition, that's his shlichus. Mechila besocha behechrech as daramini shlichus. You can't be a shliach if the mishaleach doesn't give you the ability to do a successful shlichus. The fact that we're born means that we're a shliach. The fact that we're a shliach means that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me the kochos to do it. Etas ha'uvda she'mishu chai b'zman mesuyam. The fact that a person is alive at a certain moment in history is not coincidental. B'tkufa miyuchedes u'b'makom mugdar v'lo novad b'tkufa acheres. We weren't born 100 years ago, 200 years ago, or 100 years from now. We were born to be in the generation right now, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that we have a shlichus to fulfill now. Hashkocha yodas heichan v'keitza yochal aprata yochid im chisronosav v'kochos hanefesh ha'atzurim bo l'kayim ha'shlichuso. Hashem knows how we can fulfill our shlichus. We don't, but Hashem knows. And we each have different shlichios. And the famous words of Rav Kook, I lokai atchelo notzarti eni chadai, v'yachshav she notzarti, ki lo notzarti. But then he quotes the Rashi, but he gives such deeper meaning to it. Rashi quotes that the malachim by Avraham are called anashim. Remember, it says, v'yishlach, the pasuk, I forgot, because the pasuk at the beginning of Parshas Vayera, it says, v'hine shlosha anashim nitzavim alav. And by Lot, it says, v'yavo shnei malachim sedoma. So why by Avram are they called men, Anashim, and by Lot they're called Malachim? So Rashi quotes, Avram was used to Malachim. So they're called Anashim. They're like his peers. While Lot wasn't, they're called Malachim. Says Rav Soloveitchik a little deeper. Avram Avinu looked at his life exactly like a Malach's. A Malach has a Shlichus, and I have a Shlichus. See, he doesn't have Bechira, and I have Bechira. But I have a purpose to fulfill just like a Malach has a purpose. That's why they're called Anashim. They're his peers. Lot didn't know anything about the concept of Shlichus. Shlicha is a purpose. I'm living my life. Whatever, I can do whatever I want. So they're malachim, and this is me. Moshe Rabbeinu was the malach Hashem. But if you think about it, shlucho shel adam kemoso. If we look at our lives in this way, that we are then meant to team up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we become one with Him. We become one, fulfilling our shlichus. Like the masmit, I'm the shlich of Rabbi Kiva Eger. I'm not going to give it up for a moment that we're the shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're the shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to try to have the best seder that we could have under difficult circumstances. We're the shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to try to have a lot of intense family time, even though it's challenging. And weeks before, weeks after, we don't even know what the future lies in store. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that this is our shlichus right now. Right, I mentioned recently, maybe even in the Parsha Shir, I don't remember. Or maybe it was last Erev Shabbos. The Chafetz Chaim one time when he was playing, he was a little boy, and he was playing with a couple of his friends, and they were playing If You Are Hashem. That's the game they were playing. So they were going around the circle. And one of the boys said, well, if I was Hashem, I would give this almana a horse and a cow and a chicken. And the other boy said, if I was Hashem, I would give this ani, I would give him a house and riches. And they came to Yisrael Meir. Yisrael Meir says, if I was Hashem, then I wouldn't change anything. Because if there was something to change, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have changed it already. And if not, then it's not meant to be changed. And this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's outlook, and this has to be our outlook. When we team up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shlichus, it changes us when we partner. It's the goal of our life, and it allows us to look at our life in a different way. So if we think about Yetzias Mitzrayim, there were two stages of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the stage that was all HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the stage that we partnered, Kriyas Yamsuf, that we participated in the process, and that's ultimate Ge'ula and Emunah, and that's why we dafka sung Shira at that moment, Oz Yashir Moshe, and that's why Hidur Mitzvah flows from that experience. Because we take part in the mitzvah and we beautify it. And that's exactly what Kriyas Yom Suf was. And it might even redefine the mitzvah itself. The goal of life is for us to partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the Rav Soloveitchik said, that's Birchas HaMazon versus Bracha Achrona of Bar Nefashos, Har Sinai versus Amoria, like 10-year-old Naveh who said, I could partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and achieve the impossible. Partnering with HaKadosh Baruch Hu transforms us, like Binyan HaMishkan transformed and they didn't complain, like Bris Milah transforms us, like Rabbi Grossman transformed the situation because he felt he had this urge to partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And partnering with HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a totally different outlook on life. We haven't been sold, but we've been sent. Like the Shliach Rabbi Kiva Eger, I don't want to even give up a moment. Just to close with a story I might have mentioned years ago, but I think it's one that fits in to this theme that we have been talking about. A Talmud once came to the Baal Shem Tov and says, Rebbe, I want to see Elio Anavi. Baal Shem Tov says, okay, he's in the next town, and, you know, go there for Shabbos, you'll see Elio Anavi. So he says, really? Wow. So he goes, before he goes there, he gets a whole basket of fruit, and he gets ready, and he goes there, and he's all excited, and he goes into shul Friday night, and he's looking around to the Mizrach wall, he's trying to see which of these great rabbis are Elio Anavi. He looks at them, they look at him, he's a guest in shul, they say, good Shabbos, nothing. And he says, I guess, he'll come some other time. I don't know. Friday night, he walks out of shul a little forlorn. He goes to the first, there's a little shack next to the shul. He knocks on the door, and Almana answers. She says, yes, with a bunch of kids. He says, I'm sorry, I was supposed to meet somebody, and I have this fruit, and I don't know what. She's like, come in, please. And she takes the fruit, and she lets him in, and he was very disappointed. And he goes back after Shabbat and says, Rebbe, to the Baal Shem Tov, I don't understand. Where's Elio Anavi? I didn't see him. The Baal Shem Tov says, next Shabbos. You don't ask kashas on the Baal Shem Tov. Okay, the next Shabbos, he gets ready, he's psyched, he takes his basket of fruit, and he gets ready, and he goes, and he goes to the shul, and people start looking at him like a little bit weird now, because he's there for a second week, and the rabbis are looking, and he's like, Shabbos, you need a place to stay? No, I'm good, and he waits, and finally the shamish on the way out, he's like, you staying here for the night? He's like, no. He walks out, and again, disappointed. He's like, I don't know what the Baal Shem Tov is doing. He again goes, knocks on the door of the shack, knock. Oh, it's you again. Aye, please, B'chavad, come on in. I'm sorry, please. We have a place for you to stay. And that happens. And after the second Shabbos, he goes back to the Baal Shem Tov and says, Rebbe, next Shabbos. He's okay. So again, the third Shabbos, he goes and takes the basket of fruit and buys it, a big basket. He goes to the shul and he goes, the same people, the same everything. And he goes, he's looking, he's like, what is going on here? Where is he? And again, he's the last one out of shul. And the shamar says, I know, you were looking for somebody, please. And he goes out and he finally goes and he starts walking towards the shack and he's about to knock on the door. And all of a sudden he hears inside the shack, the children calling to the woman, mommy, we're starving. Is there any food? We're going to starve. We have nothing. And he hears the mother saying to the children inside, don't worry. Maybe Elio Anavi is going to come this week too. Because Elio Anavi is in each one of us. We have the power to bring Geula. We have the power to bring Yeshuos for ourselves, for our families, for Am Yisrael, for anyone who needs a phone call, for anyone who needs, we could do something. We could be Goel, we could redeem our tfilos, we could redeem our emunah, we could redeem anything, but redemption comes through ourselves, and we just have to look inside to bring Elio Anavi, because the ultimate goal in life is partnering with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and being that junior partner that he trusts in, that he's looking forward to, that he needs in order to bring the Geula Shleima. Again, there's so much talk about what's going on, Bizman Hazeh. Is it the Geula? Is it not the Geula? It's not our job to figure out what's the Geula. It's our job to do Torah and Mitzvos and to be Oved Hashem. And again, as somebody pointed out to me, if somebody thinks, okay, it's the Geula and therefore I have Nechama, I don't have to do anything, that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. If something is Geula, that means I have to take part in the process. And I have to be ready, and I have to strengthen my emunah, and I have to strengthen my Torah and mitzvos, and my patience, and everything that's involved in these difficult and trying times. You hear Ratzon, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the siyata d'shmaya, and the wisdom, and the strength to be able to partner with Him in this time, in the future times, every day of our lives, to be able to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to say, Az Yashir Moshe, and to fulfill the what we were makabel at Har Sinai, his snarl of the mitzvahs, to be mahader in mitzvahs, which symbolizes doing my part, adding my own personal element, Yir Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shower Am Yisrael with Yeshuos, and Nechamos, and Refuos, very soon, b'mheira v'yameinu, amen.